This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
As a child of the 70s, I grew up immersed in the Star Wars movies and their interplay between the Jedi and the dark side. So perhaps it's no mystery that as a priest, I love the symbolism that we find in John's gospel, its language of light and dark, of the world and the kingdom. I think there's a part of all of us that wants a universe that's easy to understand, where we know who to trust, and where those who mean us harm are easy to identify. Yet the world is often more complicated than we would like to admit. Tides and people change. Our hopes are often dashed when our heroes disappoint us or when our enemies surprise us with their humanity. We're told that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night or in the dark, and he's seeking something. Perhaps he merely wanted to see in person the man who had been doing these signs, or perhaps he came with some other motive. Maybe he simply wanted to encounter the one who appeared to be with God. When we find ourselves seeking the cover of darkness, I think we should remember that in John's gospel, night is often where faith begins. It begins quietly, honestly, and without certainty. I think that's been true in my own life when I have seasons or times when I try and hide behind work and being busy instead of facing my own fears or my grief. I think we all have questions that we bring to God in the dark. Sometimes we're afraid of the question. Sometimes we might be afraid of the answer we're going to receive. Sometimes we're scared of our doubt, our anger, our depression, our trauma, or our grief. Sometimes we might just be wrestling with the world that seems to cry out for the direct intervention of a loving and justice-seeking God. Sometimes we want answers. Sometimes we just want to vent or cry or rail against injustice, partisanship, war, or death, or suffering. Sometimes we simply want an encounter with the divine, to be reminded that we are loved and that we belong. I hear these questions from all of you at St. David's, and I hear them in my own life as I struggle with the injustice and the suffering in the world. But John also reminds us that darkness is not only uncertainty, that it is sometimes concealment. We don't always fear that God will not answer us. Sometimes we fear that God will see us too clearly. To step into the light is to risk being known, not just in our questions, but in our motives, our compromises, and our fears. I think Lent is the ideal time for us to face these questions and these challenges. It's a time to reorient and refocus ourselves as we prepare for Holy Week and for Easter. And reorientation always costs us something. Our illusion of control, our need to feel competent, or our insistence on mastering what can only be received. Nicodemus, after all, is by all accounts successful. He's a Pharisee and a leader in the community. He's educated and he's steeped in the study of Judaism. Yet he's still searching, and he still comes to Jesus at night. To use another real-world example, I think sometimes we treat Lent and our own faith like the Olympics. We begin to treat faith like it's an event that can be mastered, something that rewards grit and discipline and achievement. It's a very American approach, after all. But the kingdom of God isn't entered through achievement. It's entered through faith and through trust. Nicodemus shows us that the kingdom of God isn't entered by success or mastery or strength of will. His journey starts in the dark, with uncertainty and questions, and a receptivity to something new. In his response to Nicodemus, Jesus references Numbers 21 and Moses lifting up the serpent. I think we have to remember that the Israelites weren't rescued from the wilderness. The serpents weren't removed. The wilderness wasn't made safer or sterilized. Healing was offered within it. We don't escape suffering in Lent, in life, or in the wilderness, but we're given a place to look. We're healed and we're restored when we look towards God. And in John's gospel, that means turning and looking towards the Son of Man lifted up. Love isn't abstract. It's lifted up in vulnerability, it's exposed in suffering, and it's given for the life of the world. And if we dare to look honestly at our own world, we might see the escalation of conflict and violence in the Middle East. We might have read this morning about the shooting last night on 6th Street that left 3 dead and many wounded. It's easy to be reminded that darkness is not an abstract theological idea. It's painfully real. Our own presiding bishop reminded us yesterday that conflict and violence bring further hardship for the most vulnerable, and it leaves behind loss and grief and generational trauma. When confronted with such loss, we can't retreat into resignation or retaliation. We must remember that we are a people of peace. We lament, we pray, and we work for a peace that heals rather than harms. Jesus tells us that we are born again, that we're born from above. But before we work, we are loved. Before we repent, we are desired. We cannot create or give birth to ourselves. We're created in the image of God, created for love and relationship. And to be born from above is to begin seeing differently, to measure our lives not by success or strength, but by trust and relationship. We remember that God acts first, sending love to the very world that so often gets it wrong, loving the world that misunderstands and resists and crucifies. Nicodemus comes first at night, but in the end, he comes in daylight and helps prepare Jesus' body for burial. His yearning becomes the seed of his faith. And it's a stripping away more than it's a building up. It's a change of worldview and of orientation, a change of posture from striving to trusting. It's not the conquering of weakness, it's the acceptance of an offer of love and relationship, a gift of the Spirit, a gift of life that draws us into the love of God. In fact, John 3:16 is the first explicit use of the word love in the gospel. And it's not love for God or for Jesus or for the disciples. It's God's love for the world. Finally, this week we celebrate St. David, whose simple charge was to be joyful, to keep the faith, and to do the little things. That's how communities and legacies endure. It's how promises are carried forward. Jesus spoke of a new life that begins in the dark. And generations before us built this parish and this building, trusting that this church would continue to be a beacon of love and light in this city and in the world, a place of refuge and strength and of consolation in times of conflict and loss. And Lent invites us into that same trust, not anxious striving, but steady faithfulness, grounded in God's love for the world. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.